Hello, everybody. I will talk about Go Evil, which is a project, a personal project, which allows you to do one-liners in Go. So you just type your Go code and call it with Go Evil, and you can simply write an hello world from the command line. So this is like magic. I will show you a bit under the hood how it works. The whole project is about 300 lines of code, not more. So here is another example. You can call Go Evil and tell it to take the code from the from STD in, but here is how it works under the hood. From your Go code, from the command line, Go Evil generates a full Go program, and so the dash E allow to print that Go program that has been generated. It is sometimes useful when you want to debug the syntax errors that you make. And then the Go import equal allow to stop using Go import, because here you see that in that code there is no import of FMT package, but it is introduced by the Go imports, which is called by Go Evil. So I'm announcing today that Go Evil has been 1.0 has been released just a few hours ago, and the new feature of Go Evil 1 is that Go modules are supported, and with Go module you get locked version for your dependency code from Go Evil. So this allows to submit to share your one-liners with other people because the previous code that I showed was depending on the dependency to be installed in GoPath. And so that's it. Try it, use it, report bugs, and I'm available for question later.
Thank you. It's weirdly enough not the first open source project to be released when people are in the dev room. If this is your slide, you can come up now.
Is this for clicking? Right. Hello, everyone. My name is Keegan. I'm a staff software engineer at Element, and I've been spending the past year debugging why Go servers are slow. So hands up, who's made a CRUD application before? Create, read, update, delete. That's basically everyone in this room, which is what I thought. Who's tried to speed up their server before? So, you know, this is a slow request, 3.6 seconds. Fewer people, but still a fair number of people. Okay, cool. Who's used pprof before? So, you know, flame graphs. Okay, it's great. Who's used runtime trace before? Not that many people. Okay. Who struggled to figure out what was going on when you're using this? Right, okay, great. This talk is for you. So the first thing you need to do really is use spans to make these traces readable. Very easy. If you've ever used Jaeger spans before, they're basically the same sort of thing. So you can create a new task, and then you get a new context. You pass the context through to new functions. You can create regions from those, and you end up getting something that looks a bit like the stuff on the bottom there. You can also add log lines for some contextual information. That'll appear on the UI, which we'll get to in a moment. And the crash course in using runtime trace is you make a trace in the same way that you'd make a CPU profile with pprof, except you hit a different endpoint, but you also tell it how long you want to trace for, and then you use GoTool trace to open that trace. You don't use the GoTool pprof, confusingly, and you'll get something like the bottom over here, which is quite a lot of scary words and links, and you have no idea which thing to click. The only thing you care about is the user-defined tasks. If you click on that, you'll see something a bit like this. The only thing you care about is this GoRoutine view, and if you click on that, you can profile basically everything. So for example, here's a request, which is slow because of garbage collection, and if you click on any one of those Gs at the bottom, which are highlighted with the red circle, you'll see stack traces that mention GC. Also, the blue bar in the middle there says GC, so no spoiler. Other thing, if you have slow SQL queries, you can find that as well, because if you click on any of these things, you'll see stack traces, and those stack traces refer to any point where the go runtime kind of yields away for kind of network I/O or syscalls or things like that. So you can clearly see, oh, it's doing something with SQL, and it's just doing the same thing for SQL for, you know, not particularly long here, only 20 mils, but still, it takes a long time. You can do the same thing for profiling functions. If functions are being slow, so you may, this is calling the same function over and over and over again, which it probably shouldn't be doing in this particular scenario, but again, it depends on your actual code as to whether or not this is the right thing for it to do. Sometimes that is normal behavior. In this case, it's definitely not normal behavior. So the TLDR is you should probably use runtime trace next time and not CPU profiles. So for me, I've sped up requests that were taking 3.6 seconds to 96 milliseconds for the same request. And there are bottlenecks from various different things, so from garbage collection to poor database queries and poor computational complexity on certain algorithms. And some of these things will only be visible if you use runtime trace. So you know, flame graphs don't help you for debugging slow SQL queries, but runtime trace will do. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If this GitHub repo is yours, come to the stage. And you got 10 seconds to switch laptops. Yes. 10. Nah, no. And it works, which is a miracle for Linux. And here is your microphone.
Hi. I actually didn't create a slide, and this will be the fastest lightning talk in my life. Basically, I just wanted to talk about the JSON package and the issue what we faced with, and a lot of people faced with it. Basically, it's the... Have you ever used struct with omitempty? Then basically this is where the issue come in, and there is an open issue here which trying to fix this, but it's basically abandoned, and it's a pretty big issue because it's created in 2015